Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A heck of a musical intro.
I needed that.
As usual, I have to ask, who is this?
This is Jungle, Busy Earning. I like the song a lot. Good little upbeat. Something upbeat for you in this morning. I needed that. Pick me up. So.
Well, we're busy earning, right?
Yeah, we're earning that cash, Brad.
It's been an interesting last couple of days, but we're moving on. We got a lot of stuff to do
today. The ship keeps rolling, Brad.
Yes. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, cranking out 50,000 watts. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show today. It's going to be another boiler across the Midwest this afternoon, so be careful if you have to be outside today. We'll try to keep you cool up until noon. Try to do that. I was looking at the weather forecast. It's like 90s for like the next 5 days.
Sounds awesome. Actually, to the pool.
It's the opposite of awesome. Yeah, exactly. Put a lawn chair out front and sit in front of a sprinkler.
Yeah, you can bring your phone or radio and listen to us.
That's right. Absolutely. I got a good show lined up for you today. Before we get to the headlines, let's tell you who we've got on. Coming up at 9:30, Kevin McGuire. First time we've had him on the show from NBCSports.com. Does a great job covering college football. Also has a podcast called the No 2 Minute Warning Podcast. So I'm going to have to ask him about that. Also writes for Athlon Sports. Got a lot, you know, college football's right around the corner. Just like everything else, it keeps rolling.
Football is upon us almost.
Yeah. So Kevin McGuire will have some good stuff on college football. Get his thoughts about the not only the two new local hires at KU and K-State, but there are four new head coaches in the Big 12 this year. Almost half the conference.
Yeah.
That's a lot of turnover. I mean, if you're Oklahoma and Texas, maybe even Oklahoma State, you got to be thinking, wow, we need to take advantage of this.
He's been big on covering the whole UConn leaving and what's going to happen with their program in terms of
are they going to drop football?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Also with, I think you saw probably the how the NCAA is going to handle possibly California allowing players to deal with.
What a joke.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of.
I don't mean to go on a rant early here because I'm trying to get through the guest list, but it seems like at almost every step, the NCAA tries to look for ways to make it harder for the kids. Not the coaches, not the ADs, not the schools, although they get in the way too, but. You know, we're gonna make it harder to transfer. We've tried the transfer portal. We don't like it. We're going to make it harder on the kids. With the new law being passed that you can make money off your image and likeness and those kind of things. Well, if California schools decide to do this, we'll ban them from NCAA tournaments and games. What? The whole state of California. Really? NCAA? You're going to ban the whole state of California.
What I was thinking is, at least for college football purposes, when's the next time – or who's the next team you
Nobody.
See from California being in the
Nobody.
College football playoff, or let alone a Pac-12 team?
Yeah, it's not UCLA. It's not USC.
I might think Stanford outside the box.
Stanford or on a stretch, San Diego State. That's not going to happen, but they've
no,
had good seasons.
I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, so is it USC, UCLA, or Stanford?
I think Stanford
would be, at this point at least, with how USC's program has been
we're gonna ban
these
every,
past couple of years.
We're going to ban every school in the state of California. Really good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah.
NCAA is making it easier for schools to come up with a different way to govern themselves. And it may not include the NCAA. Boy. So Kevin McGuire will have lots of fun stuff on that at 9:30. He may not know what he's getting into here. At 10 o'clock, our good friend Nick Garcia will join us, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. Sporting KC on the road tonight. Late night with Sporting KC. 9 o'clock at Real Salt Lake. You can hear that game live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle. with Dave Borchardt right after at 11. We'll also talk to him about USA Women in the World Cup getting that 2-1 win over the French yesterday. That's a big win,
yep.
France being the host country and both teams being kind of co-favorites going in.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough draw to get in the quarterfinals.
Absolutely.
And Megan Rapinoe is becoming
crushing it.
Is a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's on the soccer field, off the soccer field, I like her celebrations. She's outspoken on a lot of things, I tell you that. But we'll talk with Nick about that. Also, USA in the Gold Cup, the game in Kansas City against, was it Panama a few days ago? Not thrilling. Didn't start any of their stars. The fans in Kansas City had to be disappointed. You pay a lot of money for those tickets. CONCACAF doesn't cut you any discounts. Nate Bucati said this. There was a section in the middle of the stadium that was basically empty, and it looked bad on television. But Nate Bucati talked about this. Peter Vermees talked about this. CONCACAF holds those tickets for themselves. They like to distribute them to corporate partners, and if they don't get used, they don't get used. And it sucks because it was a bad look on television, and Kansas City had nothing to do with it because there were over 17,000 people there.
Yeah, and there's a ton of people in standing room as well.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Those tickets could have been gone to good use.
Kudos to the crowd and the fans of Kansas City,
yeah.
As Romeo Cornell used to say, kudos. Kudos to the fans in Kansas City for coming out to support because we're all working together to try to get World Cup 2026, and anytime we can get something, a game on the national stage, international stage, you got to take our, got to shoot your shot. Got to make it clear to FIFA that Kansas City should be a host city for World Cup 2026.
And Power and Light yesterday was
Oh my gosh, did
incredible.
You see that?
It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Phenomenal.
Obviously, you and I couldn't go because we were hosting Between the Lines yesterday, but I saw the videos last night, and they would do the cutaways to the fans of Power and Light. It was jam-packed.
It was
and it
crazy.
Helped, it helped. It was on a Friday in the afternoon.
Yeah, people could maybe scoot out of work a little early.
Head down if you're working downtown, scoot out, walk down there. That is great. That's fantastic. Another kudos to the Kansas City soccer community. Huge crowd at Power and Light to watch the Women's World Cup. And like I said, we'll talk about Gold Cup, where the USA is going. Is team look, I'm the guy that pushes the panic button all the time, right? And then I have to be pulled back off the ledge a little bit. That's why we have guys like Nick Garcia on the show. 3 to 6 months ago, I had up serious concerns of whether or not the USA men would qualify for World Cup 2022. I'm not sure if any of that's been alleviated yet. There's a long way to go. I get it. But still put me in the concern column. Not overly worried. Not upset. But I have concerns. I think everybody should. It's a young team. Trying to get them to play together on the big stage. So Nick Garcia at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock... We'll speak with Scott Phillips from NBCSports.com, and we'll talk college basketball, we'll talk NBA, and full disclosure, we taped this interview yesterday, and due to some changing hours of when we were working yesterday, we threw it into Between the Lines, so if you heard it yesterday, you're going to hear it again, although I think the audiences are different from the weekday shows to the weekend shows, but Scott Phillips has some really good stuff about college basketball. And the NBA, with all the free agency and things going on. So Scott at 11 o'clock. All right, a couple of news notes here. Royals baseball. We talked about this with Les Norman yesterday. Not looking at wins and losses anymore. Just not. There's little to gain from whether or not the Royals lose. Satisfaction or dissatisfaction. They lost 6-2 in Toronto. First of a four-game series. It was close until the seventh inning. Balls were flying out of the ballpark, and they tend to do that not only across Major League Baseball this season, which is going to crush the all-time record. In Toronto, I've been there for games with the Royals, and they just fly out of the park.
Yeah, four home runs given up
four
by the Royals yesterday.
Home runs.
Royals pitchers.
All three pitchers who pitched for the Royals yesterday gave up home runs.
Indeed.
And Danny Duffy was holding on until late. He went, gave up 3 runs and 7 hits and 6 2/3. Gave up that. He made Ned Yost said after the game. He made 2 mistakes, and they got pounded.
Mm-hmm.
You can pardon me 1 second. I had to clear my throat. You can always say they were mistakes. But they're good hitters. And it doesn't matter if it's a mistake or not. They can still crank it out of the park.
I mean, when you make – that's what hitters are supposed to do in the major league. If you make a mistake, they're looking
right.
for that, and they're going to crush it.
And I was looking at this. So Lourdes Gurriel Jr. for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Gurriel.
He had two home runs in the game, and I'll be honest, I was like, okay, I know the name, but I don't know much about him. So I was looking up some stuff. He was demoted to AAA.
Yeah, back in April.
In April, and he was kind of toiling down there. Got called up on May 24th. Since May 24th, he leads all of Major League Baseball in home runs hit. He has 14 home runs and 125 at bats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good stretch. And Danny Duffy said after the game, I don't know what happened between his demotion and coming up, but he's one of the better hitters he's seen recently. And his manager, here's a trick question for you. Maybe not a trick question for you. Who's the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays? I didn't know.
I can't remember. I don't know.
Charlie Montoyo. You could have given me 10 names, and I would not have picked it right. So he, after the game, he's lobbying for this Gurriel kid to go to the All-Star game. I guess, you know, 14 home runs and 25 at-bats since the end of May. It's May 24th. Maybe he's got a case. Put him in the home run derby. I don't know.
Yeah, he's hitting .352 over that 125 at-bats. So he's crushing the ball right now.
He's dialed into something.
Exactly.
Eric Sogard had a home run. That was the one that kind of broke it open in the seventh.
Yeah.
And then Randall Grichuk had a two-run home run. Duffy was okay. I also found this number on Danny Duffy because we know Jacob Junis is the guy that gets pounded for home runs, right?
Yeah.
So Danny Duffy does not necessarily give up a lot of home runs. He's given up 10 this season, which is not awful. Six of the 10 home runs Duffy has given up have come in his last three starts.
Yeah, five in the last two. It's for him, I mean, he went eight in the last game. He went eight innings.
Right.
Longevity there. Right. But he's just there's a lapse in one specific inning usually. I mean, yesterday was the sixth for him.
He's kind of done that in his career.
Yeah.
The one inning, yeah.
Because he was cruising. Like,
yeah,
both pitchers
absolutely.
Yesterday were
absolutely.
Cruising. It was looking like there was a few 10-pitch innings on either side or somewhere around there. You thought yesterday through the first four, you thought this game was going to go pretty quick, and you thought with the pitch counts and everything that both starters were going to go deep in this game. It wasn't the case. I mean, Duffy went 6 2/3, but Reed Foley went
109 pitches.
Yeah, Reed Foley only went 5 1/3, and then Duffy giving up the home run still puts you in a. It was only three earned runs for him though.
Right.
Still gives you an opportunity down the stretch to win the game, but
the
bullpen
offense
of course
score too.
Yeah,
I mean
the top of the order was horrible.
You can't sit there and hope that Danny Duffy's not going to give up a home run. You got to go out and score some runs.
The top of the order was not great last night. And then striking out the team again 12 times, 12 strikeouts, another double-digit strikeout total for the Royals.
Put another one on the
list. Royals hitting, not what you want to see from the squad. But Alex Gordon, the only one really at through the 1-5 hitters, was able to do anything. Jorge Soler yesterday, 0-4 with 3 strikeouts.
Right.
Dozier, 0-3 with 2 strikeouts. I mean, those are your meat guys. Those are the guys who are driving in the runs.
If you're relying on Martin Maldonado, that's not getting it done. He had the best night last night. He had 3 hits, all extra base hits, including a home run. And for Maldonado and the Royals, the more productive he can be, the better. Because the trade deadline is coming, and he's not attached to this organization for the long term. And
his contract is very nice.
Very good contract because his agent screwed up last year.
Mm-hmm.
All the money they turned down from the Astros. Nah, we're going to go out and get more. Actually, you're getting way less. And somebody's probably going to come looking for a catcher. Maldonado would be a nice piece for somebody.
Yeah. Just another thing about the 1-5 hitters. 1-15 with 7 strikeouts.
Okay.
And the team yesterday was 1-10 with runners in scoring position.
Right.
So.
Ouch.
Not good.
One piece of good news, and I'm going to have to say this slowly because somebody on Twitter has a problem with how I pronounce the name, but I try my best. Adalberto Mondesi. I always put an extra L in there before the D.
Adalberto.
Yeah. My kids make fun of me. There's a couple of words where, depending on the consonants, I just get them switched. My brain just does it. So I apologize that I missed. I transposed 2 letters. And I was told it's embarrassing and I shouldn't be working ever again because I have a problem with one name. Okay, fine. Whatever. I'm going to keep doing this until they tell me I can't. How about if I just say Mondesi?
There we go.
I wish you would have stayed with Raul.
A little easier.
But here's the good news. Now that I got that off my chest, I just the things people pick on you for, sometimes I don't get. It happens. My brain switches a letter sometimes. It just happens. So Mondesi is going to begin his rehab assignment today at AA Northwest Arkansas. He's been out since June 18th. Arteaga's been okay at shortstop, but you definitely want to get Mondesi back. So he'll probably, I'm guessing it's, 3 to 5 days? These rehab assignments usually don't take that long.
Maybe Tuesday he might be back. That's kind of what I've been hearing.
So that fits right in that 3 to 5 day window. So Mondesi's back. Today in Toronto, game two of the 4-game series, Homer Bailey. Toronto is the only team he has never faced in Major League Baseball. A little tidbit for you. Doesn't mean anything, but it's kind of a nice career hallmark to say you've played against every team in Major League Baseball. He'll be opposed by one Marcus Stroman. Stroman was nails his last time out in Fenway Park against Boston, 6 shutout innings. And I keep hearing Stroman's name tossed around in trade possibilities because the Blue Jays aren't going anywhere. Stroman's a top guy. I mean, his record is not great. This is why I don't like this using records, but he's 5-9. His ERA is 3.04. It's pretty good. So somebody's probably going to come for Marcus Stroman.
Yes, I would assume so.
Yes. And to get you set for that game, we will have baseball tonight at 2 o'clock with our own Chris Bohlig. Or if you want to believe the email, Chris Bolins.
Was that on the email?
Yes. Because I read it initially and I said, Chris Bohlins? Yeah, I think that's supposed to be
Bohlig. That's kind of like when I was at TCU and I had my TV or credential for working TV. And it said Craig Bohlig. That was my alter ego that I used. I was like, in my credential for, I'm finally my credential for Royals, because it's not been, the mag strip hasn't been reading all season since I've been going there.
Right.
But they finally have a new credential for me. So the next time I go out to the ballpark, I won't have to explain to every security person that tries to scan my thing.
Right.
Yes. The mag strip is just not working. Yeah. We're going to get it fixed.
Well, at least you have one. I didn't get one this year, so. Oh, well, it happens. Let's have a little more fun since we talked about the Royals. We got a few minutes left in this first segment. Fantasy football rankings are starting to pour out. Everybody's got them. Who do you got ranked? 1 through 55, 1 through 75, 1 through 300, whatever it is. So I was looking at ESPN.com this morning, and they have like 4 or 5 different writers that all have their own picks. So I had to pick one. I went with Matthew Berry. Seems logical enough. So, as Chiefs fans, we want to start with the quarterback, right? Where do you think Patrick Mahomes is ranked? 2019 quarterback, fantasy football. And this was for PPR league. I didn't look at the non-PPR. I'm not a fantasy football expert. I just went with PPR. Seemed easy enough. Patrick Mahomes, where's he ranked?
I would probably guess in the top 2 for quarterbacks.
Yes. He is number 1. Yes. He is number 1.
I was thinking probably 1 or 2.
Patrick Mahomes is 1. I was a little bit surprised by who was 2.
Aaron Rodgers, maybe?
No, he's 3.
Drew Brees?
Nope. Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, hey.
I'm number 2.
Right.
And they've got the explanations for all this.
I mean, he does carry the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
So that probably has something to do with it.
So Mahomes is 1, Deshaun Watson 2, Aaron Rodgers 3, Andrew Luck is 4, Matt Ryan is 5.
Ooh.
What name has not been said yet that you might be surprised by? So that's the top 5. Maybe not surprised.
I'm not surprised, but I was surprised not hearing. You didn't say Drew Brees.
Nope.
So that's not on there. That's surprising me.
Number 6, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I thought he might be a little bit higher.
We'll see. I think you got to see a full season.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there.
Yeah,
I know there
absolutely.
Are the. I know there are the weapons there.
Yeah.
But you don't know how. It already seems like there is drama surrounding the, not terrible amounts,
but
you don't say. When you hear reports that players are calling out the starting quarterback for, calling out Duke Johnson in the media, for
that's not
wanting
good.
A trade. That's not what you want to hear.
Not good.
So,
where do you think Tom Brady would be ranked?
Hmm.
I don't think he doesn't put up big numbers anymore.
No,
but
his fantasy numbers haven't been terribly great the past few years. I'll put him at 10 or 11.
He's at 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
That low.
Tom Brady, 21. And again, this is according to Matthew Berry, ESPN.com, preseason fantasy football ratings. Running back, I'm not going to go through all of them here. The top running backs are the usual suspects. Saquon Barkley is number one.
Sure, Alvin Kamara is up there.
Kamara is four. Ezekiel Elliott is two. McCaffrey is three.
Where's Le'Veon Bell at?
He's 12.
Yeah, okay.
Where's the Jets? I mean, it's the Jets. Where do you think Kareem Hunt would be ranked?
Well, considering he has that big suspension,
yep,
I'm assuming he's pretty low on the
list. Yes,
probably
very low, 56.
Yeah,
for Kareem Hunt, wide receiver, top chief Sammy Watkins is at 17. That seems about right. Tyreek Hill, I'm assuming they're factoring in a possible suspension. He comes in at number 29.
Okay,
so depending on if you want to, you know, draft and save or whatever you want to do, just consider that. Tight ends. Last category I'm going to cover. Where is Travis Kelce on this list?
Okay.
Now that Gronk is retired.
You got to assume Zach Ertz is probably pretty high up there.
Zach Ertz is two.
I am going to say Travis Kelce. Since with the ankle thing, I'll put him. Actually, I don't know. I still think he could be the number one tight end.
He is number one.
I was trying to think about anybody else, but I was like, I can't really think of anybody else that would have more opportunities.
Right.
Especially with Tyreek Hill out, probably most likely with a suspension for, you know, somewhere probably maybe four games, maybe.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, maybe less.
So Travis Kelce one, Zach Ertz two, and this is the only other player who maybe had a shot, George Kittle at three.
Of course.
49ers just exploded last year.
Yeah, George Kittle also with it was crazy watching that game, the home opener,
right?
49ers and Chiefs,
right?
And how open George Kittle was getting.
Part of the problem.
Shanahan was he can scheme it up. Like no joke, he can draw it up. But we'll see if Jimmy Garoppolo will be able to come back from that ACL.
Are you sold on Garoppolo?
I don't know. It's hard to say at this point. I don't think he's had the best. The sample size was so small at the end of that.
Exactly.
Two seasons ago,
yep.
And then he had game three, he goes out with an ACL injury.
He got the Matt Castle deal. I was good for.
I think he was better
games.
Than Matt Castle,
well,
though.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was just saying in terms of how much.
Time I agree, but I think I don't think he's going to be as good as everyone, at least in San Francisco, thinks he's going to be. But I think he'll be serviceable. I think he's shown that he has talent. He has arm talent. He can move around in the pocket. And he seems pretty poised. So I think he'll be fine.
Okay. One other local news. So those are your fantasy football rankings as of right now, ESPN.com. One other local note. I had some NBA and college basketball to get to, but we're not going to have time in this segment. But just a local note, I always want the Missouri, KU, K-State kids, UMKC kids to do well if they decide to play professionally or have the opportunity. Rodney Magruder. I did not even know where he was right now. The former K-State star, really good player. Been in the NBA for like 5 years now. I think he started with Oklahoma City. Been with the Heat for 3 years, I believe. I did not know that the LA Clippers traded for him before the final game of the season. And he couldn't play in the playoffs, but obviously they were thinking about the next season as well. So they gave him the $3 million qualifying offer to make him a restricted free agent so they can match his offer. Last year, 66 games, averaged 23.5 minutes, 7.5 points, nearly 2 assists, 3.5 rebounds. And if you're with the Clippers, you're in a good spot because they now have $54 million in cap space, and they're already pretty darn good. That's a good place to be. So Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, all going to be taking a peek. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. Still to come on the show at 10 o'clock, Nick Garcia talking Sporting KC, U.S. women at the World Cup, U.S. men at the Gold Cup, all kinds of soccer stuff there. At 11 o'clock, Scott Phillips from NBCSports.com talking college basketball and the NBA. Coming up next, though, Kevin McGuire, NBCSports.com talking college football. Four new coaches in the Big 12. what does he think of the guys, not only at KU and K-State, but the other places as well, and some other interesting stories that have come up. So Kevin McGuire is next. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We check the box. We got our mandatory Beastie Boys in there.
Indeed.
It's a good one. By the way, MLB Network is on in the studio here, and Dave Valley is one of the hosts. He's walking around on that field. I love MLB Network. I think it's one of the best sports channels out there. They do a great job.
Yeah, I do like MLB Network a lot.
So Dave Valley's standing at home plate. He's holding a bat. Then they go to a graphic, and then he's standing on the mound, and he's got a glove. Do they really need the equipment on the show?
Yeah, they need it. They definitely do need it.
Maybe if you want to hit somebody. I don't know what they're doing with it. Mm-hmm. They're not really doing anything other than just holding the bats. Whatever, it works. They do a good job, so
that's all that matters.
That's the only thing that stands out to me that's a little bit odd. So anyway, back here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. Hopefully, if you're out and about today, get a chance to listen to some of what we got going on for you. If you're going to, taking the kids to soccer games or lacrosse or swimming or, I don't know, ceramics, whatever your kids are into, appreciate you joining us and spending some time with us. A little overcast right now, but it is going to be a boiler once again. Right now, we are going to welcome into the show Kevin McGuire from NBCSports.com. First time we've had on the show. Does a lot of good stuff covering college football. Kevin, how are you on this Saturday morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. How are you guys?
Good. Hopefully, it's not boiling hot where you are.
It's a little muggy outside, and it's probably going to be a little warm today, but I think it's going to cool off tomorrow, so we're in for a good weekend here.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I was going through your bio, and I say NBCSports.com, but you also have a podcast, No 2 Minute Warning at .com, and you write for Athlon Sports. You're one of those guys who does a lot of things.
I like to be a utility player when I can, and I think every good team needs one. So
sure.
I try to do what I can every here and there.
As many different places as you can earn a check from, that's always a good thing.
Right.
Hey, before I get too much into the Big 12 and the rest of college football, I was going through your Twitter feed, and I kind of missed this story, but it has local interest. Many of us watched the show Last Chance U about the college football team in Independence, which is not really that far from this radio station. We all saw how bombastic their coach could be, Jason Brown. And then he got into a you-know-what storm last year when he was threatening a local reporter. And now I read, you retweeted this from Sean Fry, Jason Brown, the former Independence football coach featured on the Netflix series Last Chance U, has been charged with 8 felony counts of blackmail and identity theft in Montgomery County for trying to silence 2 local reporters. Kevin, I got to say, this is a tiny college that nobody would know about outside this area if it didn't have a TV show. And this guy is probably going to jail for threatening 2 reporters.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the way you think about this entire thing. And I quipped on Twitter, is I think he had his last chance coaching at this
yes.
point. There's no way.
No.
As all this stuff goes down, there's no way he can coach again. Obviously that's a shame because you see someone going down the wrong path, and to I don't know if it's a power trip because of the Netflix show or what. I don't know. I don't know him. I haven't covered him or anything like that. But it's certainly something that raises your eyebrows. And I think you're right. I think the notoriety of the Netflix show certainly makes this much more of a story than it probably would have been if it were just any other community college program coach. Getting into this kind of a mess.
And it strikes me as it's just what's crazy. There's a lot of things crazy about this story, but look, I've had chances in my career for doing this for 25 years. You tick off people here and there, and I'll have a coach or a team or a school call and say, hey, that wasn't really appropriate. We didn't care for that. And I said, okay, we can talk about it, but that's, you can't really do anything about it. But for this guy who, like I said, nobody would know who he was if he didn't have the show on Last Chance U. This guy saw fit, and this was a small newspaper. This wasn't the Kansas City Star. This wasn't the LA Times. This wasn't the New York Post. It's a relatively small newspaper, and he's threatening him in identity theft, for crying out loud?
Yeah. It's really elaborate for what we're probably talking about
right.
in the grand scheme of things, which is it's really crazy. And you're right. I mean, there are times in this industry you're going to say something, report something. Maybe it's not quite the message that you're trying to send across. Maybe you get a minor detail corrected, and it's okay to have some revisions. I think I think that's part of the job. You know, you're going to report something. If it's wrong, you make up for it. You make amends for it, and you have some conversations with the people from the schools and everything like that. So it's always good to have a healthy relationship. This guy clearly did not have a healthy relationship.
No, not at all. We're speaking with Kevin McGuire, NBCSports.com. Does a good job covering college football. I'll start here locally, Kevin. Obviously, we have the new coaches at KU and K-State, Les Miles at KU, Chris Klieman at K-State. And the Big 12 in total has four total new coaches. Almost half the league has new head coaches, with Neil Brown at West Virginia and Matt Wells at Texas Tech. And I was talking with Chris about this earlier. I'm thinking, you know, if you're Oklahoma, if you're Texas, maybe even an Oklahoma State, you kind of look at having four new coaches to go against this year, and you're thinking we can stockpile the wins in conference play.
Well, I mean, that'll probably be the case because those programs that you just mentioned, they're pretty solid right now. They're on pretty solid ground. Obviously, Oklahoma's been doing their thing with Lincoln Riley the last couple of years, and Texas seems like they're, you know, climbing to being back. I don't know if they're necessarily back yet, but the future looks pretty good for where Texas is. And Oklahoma State always seems like they're, you know, kind of in the mix, and, you know, if some couple breaks go their way, they're going to be able to have a pretty good year, too. So those three programs are pretty solid. But I don't look at coaching turnover as necessarily an easy season upcoming, because new coaches will bring some new ideas to the table. You'll probably see some new wrinkles at some programs that are in need of it on the field and as far as strategizing is concerned. So, I mean, we could see some different things, and I think that's what makes the Big 12 really exciting this year. You know, obviously, you know, like I said, it's probably going to be Oklahoma and Texas, but let's see what these other programs do with some new leadership in place and, you know, kind of setting the foundation for what those programs are trying to accomplish.
I want to start with Les Miles, because he's the most interesting coach and also character that's kind of come into this conference. He's been, in terms of winning the PR battle, he's done that. What he's done different from David Beatty before is Les Miles has been approachable. He does funny videos. I know he has a background in acting, but he does funny videos that get posted on social media. He's invited students to come out and watch practice, where David Beatty was like, you know, locked down, you know, prison. You couldn't find out anything about the team. Hey, he wouldn't even tell you who the starting quarterback was going to be until the game started, which was, he got increasingly paranoid over the 3 years. And I like David as a person. I think he's a good dude, but Les Miles is more open. He's invited, like I said, invited the students in, invited the fans in. He's more open with the media, and it's certainly a better image for Kansas. Whether or not that turns into wins remains to be seen, and it may take a couple of years. But what he's done so far has been pretty good for Kansas.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and that's where I'm coming at with when it comes to Kansas. Because let's be honest, you know, taking over the Kansas job, it's not an easy one to just instantly transform into a team that's going to contend for the Big 12. So you have to start somewhere. And I think having a guy like Les Miles come in with all the experience he has coaching, you know, from his time at Oklahoma State, obviously at LSU, obviously he won a national title with LSU.
Right.
So it's nice to have that on your side. You got a guy that knows what it takes to win at a high level of competition here. And you can't expect that kind of success right away at Kansas, but you, like I said, you lay the foundation and you let him, you know, start to do some things his way and really draw attention to that program. Because I think, if nothing else, people are going to be paying attention to what Kansas
yes.
does this year just because of Les Miles.
Right.
And that's great, but you have to go from somewhere from there. So it's going to take some work, obviously, in recruiting. I think he's been doing that, you know, especially lately, you know, since he got a chance to take over and take over some of the recruiting things. So I think there's reason for optimism, and I think that that's great. Again, I don't know how much that translates on the field as far as wins and losses are concerned this year, but, you know, like I said, you got to start somewhere, and I think having a guy like Les Miles is a good position to be in, so let's see what he does with it.
We're speaking with Kevin McGuire, NBCSports.com, talking a little Big 12 and college football here. The final thing on Les Miles, the one thing he has to do and KU has to do, not the one thing, I mean, there's hundreds of things, but the biggest thing they have to get right is the quarterback. Because, my goodness, Kevin, I've been covering this team for so long, and the last good quarterback Kansas had was Todd Reesing. Yes, I have to go all the way back to Todd Reesing. That he's got kids. He's a grown man now, for crying out loud. And, you know, David Beatty had Montel Cozart. Couldn't make it, and then he pulled the switcheroo with him and Ryan Willis. Couldn't make it work. Montel Cozart leaves, goes to Boise State. Didn't start every game, started a few and won a bowl game over there. Ryan Willis goes to Virginia Tech, immediately becomes the starter. I don't know why it didn't work here, but Les Miles has got to get the quarterback right.
And I think that's true for a lot of coaches. And
yes.
That's always the biggest question mark coming into a brand new season, you know, especially when you have a new head coach, because kind of I always look at it like a coach is going to give every position kind of a clean slate, and you just kind of start from scratch in a sense. But, you know, football, we all know, if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have the ability to protect a quarterback, you're probably not going to go very far. So, yeah, that's got to be one of the big issues for Les Miles coming in. And I think, you know, the answer may not be there right away. And that's one of the things, too. I mean, I think if you play a couple weeks and you play a couple different guys, maybe you are trying to get a feel for what these guys do in real competition as opposed to what they're doing in practice, because it's a completely different ballgame. So, you know, I would stress a little bit of patience because, like I said, the answer may not be there right away or may not be obvious right away. But, you know, give them some time. And I will say that has been one of the concerns that you've had about Les Miles over the years going back to LSU. You know, it was very rarely that he had the quarterback all figured out, which is something that LSU has always kind of struggled with for the most part. So, you know, just take your time and let's see what happens there.
Chris Klieman, new at K-State. We kind of learned about him on the fly when Bill Snyder announced his retirement. His name started circulating. Obviously, you know his pedigree. He's got a handful of national championships at a lower level. But for a program like K-State, he seems like a really good fit. And just like Les Miles, he's doing the videos and meeting with fans and students, and he's doing all the right things PR-wise, making the program much more open than it used to be. Because, you know, I respect the heck out of Bill Snyder. Everybody in the country does. But he was pretty closed off, and it was hard to find out anything about the team. Chris Klieman has kind of done that. We'll just have to see what his ideas are. We know he had, you know, a great quarterback in his past. He's going to walk into a situation where Skylar Thompson, who I'm biased for because I covered him in high school. I think he's a great kid, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback if they can work it out the right way. But Chris Klieman, and like Les Miles, is making good first steps.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's really easy to make a lot of good first steps, I think, when you are a new head coach and kind of ushering in a new era. So I don't want to get too carried away. But, yeah, it is good to see, obviously. And I think this is going to be a little bit of a smoother transition, I think, as far as not personality, but the way we see Kansas State play their football games. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be a dramatic change of pace as far as offensive style is concerned, but I think it's a pretty good fit, like you said. I think Chris Klieman coming in with what he's done at North Dakota State, I think that's certainly going to be a positive moving forward.
Right.
Because you got a guy that knows how to put together a national championship. And let's, you know, North Dakota State, their history against FBS competition, it's pretty noteworthy.
Right, absolutely.
I expect him to win every game that he plays against an FBS opponent, but there's no question he's not going to be intimidated by what he's about to take on there.
We're speaking with Kevin McGuire, NBCSports.com. I'll broaden this out to some nationwide topics. Chris and I were kicking around this earlier as well, and it's a rather another absurd story. So now it may become likely for college students to profit off their image and likeness and autographs and those sorts of things. And the folks in schools are trying to figure out how to deal with it. State of California was going to step right in it, and then the NCAA jumps up and says, well, actually, if you do that, we might ban every school in your whole state from certain competitions. I mean, banning every school in an entire state?
Yeah, I think the NCAA is doing what they typically do, and they're fighting a fight that I don't think they're going to win.
No.
And maybe they don't think they're going to win either, but it's what they have to do in order to defend the kind of ideas and their company lines that they've been saying for how many years. I don't know where you guys fall on this, but I'm okay with the idea of players profiting on their own likeness and image. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I'm 100% in agreement on that.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yes.
Here. But I think eventually that is going to be the reality. I think we will get to that point. It's just a matter of how many legal battles is the NCAA going to fight before they finally cave on that idea.
Yes, it's just one. Like I said, it's just absurd. You're not going to ban every school in the biggest state in the country. It's not going to happen. Another national topic is we've had some schools recently switch conferences on a very low scale. My former school, UMKC, has moved back to the Summit League, which they should have done. They should have never left. But UConn, a lot of attention this week, going back to the Big East, and now there's questions about what they do with the football program. Do they play in a different conference? Do they just drop football together because it hasn't been great lately? But I don't like it when schools jump conferences, but if you want to go back to your old home, I agree with that, a more natural fit.
Yeah, and I would kind of like it if a number of schools made the same decision, to be honest with you. But, this whole UConn thing is very interesting and very unique because this is a move that was not geared at all by what football means to the school because, you know, over the years, of all these realignment changes, football has been the driving force. That's not the case at UConn, where basketball rules first, second, and probably even third if they find a way to do that. So to leave their football program stranded the way that they have is – you know, it's really kind of unique, and I don't think we're going to see this very often. I think this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime situation that we're talking about because football is being at kind of the afterthought here, where they're just leaving it stranded in an uncertain future, and Randy Edsall has a very difficult job already, and now he's got to try and, you know, guide a rudderless program as far as where their direction is concerned. I mean, I'm not trying to joke about it.
Right.
I feel like that's the actual situation that he's taking on. I don't think he's very happy about it from what we see on Twitter and his statements that he's been putting out. And I don't blame him. I really don't. I'll criticize Randy Edsall for a number of things, but you know, right now I kind of feel sorry for him.
And of course, here locally, when we see a story like UConn going back to their former conference, I start thinking about the teams that left the Big 12 and who might be a fit. Now, Texas A&M ain't coming back. That ship has sailed. No. They don't want to have anything to do with Texas. They don't want anything to do with the University of Texas. They're not going to come back. Missouri, I could see it. I honestly don't, and I like all of our local schools. I'm not biased for or against any of them, but I don't think, there's not a lot of SEC matchups that get my attention every week. Nebraska has not had success since they went to the Big Ten. I think they would be a nice fit to come back. Colorado's not coming back. They're happy in the Pac-12, and I'd be happy if West Virginia got out because they just don't fit at all.
Yeah, and West Virginia is one of the schools where I just don't know where they would go at this point.
Yeah,
Big
true.
East isn't there anymore, so right. I don't know if there's a natural fit for them. But I hear you. I think Nebraska's pretty interesting. Now, you're talking about all these schools. The Big Ten revenue shares that Nebraska is getting are really difficult to give up.
Same They're big.
Missouri and the SEC, and like I said, I said football kind of drives all these realignment changes. Well, what drives that? It's the money.
Right.
And so I don't think we're ever going to see any of those schools return to Big 12. I don't know how serious these conversations have been, but, anytime you're talking about realignment changes, you see different rumors and possibilities thrown out there. I think it's really just throwing mud against the wall and seeing what sticks. But, Nebraska is just a team I guess we can keep an eye on just in case, but I really just don't think that leaving the Big Ten is going to enter their mindset on any serious level of discussion anytime soon because of that revenue share. I mean, it's a tough geographical fit, I think, in the Big Ten with the way that conference is spread out
yep.
right now. That money talks.
Yes, it does.
It talks very loudly in the Big Ten.
That's what it all comes down to. Hey, Kevin, I'm out of time here, but I want to say I appreciate your time. It's the first time we had you on the show. Fantastic stuff. And I want to encourage people to go to Kevin's Twitter account, @KevinOnCFB. So I'm going to read that one more time, @KevinOnCFB. Check out his work on NBCSports.com, the podcast, No 2-Minute Warning, and Athlon Sports as well. Kevin, great stuff. I appreciate your time on this Saturday morning.
Thanks so much for having me on, and hopefully we can do it again.
Absolutely. Anytime. That's Kevin McGuire, NBCSports.com. Chris, good guest.
I try to find some.
I've read his stuff before, but I didn't know anything about him.
Yep,
that was good
made
stuff.
It happen. No, he's great. So,
how about the last chance you coach?
Yeah,
eight
Jason
felony
Brown.
Charges.
Not surprising whatsoever.
Wow.
So,
he's going to jail.
Yes, he is.
Probably.
Yep.
I mean, eight felonies is a lot. I realize you can plea bargain this stuff down, but I think there's going to be jail time. Holy cow! All right. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. We have one more segment left in this hour, and then two more hours to go at 10 o'clock. Nick Garcia will join us, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. We'll talk Sporting, game tonight against Real Salt Lake. We'll talk USA Women in the World Cup, USA Men in the Gold Cup, and whatever else comes up. That's Nick Garcia at 10 o'clock. And then at 11, Scott Phillips, NBCSports.com. We'll talk college basketball and the NBA. Looking forward to that with Scott. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, what's our out time, Chris? I forgot to ask you for this hour. This is the last. Okay. We're just doing whatever we want because we're having a little more fun today, aren't we? All right. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Finishing up hour number one with two more to go. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. A couple of fun notes to end the hour. On this date, July 29th, 1988, Coming to America with Eddie Murphy released in theaters. One of my favorite movies of all time. Also, some birthdays today. Fred Grandy. Chris, I know you will not know who he is. He was on the TV show The Love Boat. Played the character Gopher. 71 years old. And Gary Busey. Loved him in Point Blank. In the Buddy Holly story, he's 75. Back with more Sports Saturday right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.